Father, I thank you this morning that you are good, and your name is greatly to be praised. We're few, many, when we're rocking, the walls are falling down, when the worship team's slamming, when there's just Pastor Jody here, Sue, praying for youth, you're here. And we're grateful, and we never want to minimize that or even take anything on that's our glory. That you desire to be in a dog track, in a patchy junction, and spend time with your people is really more than we deserve. But we love you, and we thank you for what you've done in us. And please do it in us again and around about us. In Jesus' name, amen. Say uncivilized. Here's a thought. Who knows that most questions that we begin to ask often lead to other questions? You start asking questions like, ever hear that? Don't go down that bunny trail. Don't go down that road. You don't want to answer that question. Why? Because it's going to take you someplace you don't want to go. Everybody tell you that? Yeah, this series is like that. Have we been asking him individually? I mean, really. I get people all the time in Ethos Counseling, our practice for marriage and family counseling, and we always say, hey, did you? And most of the time people don't do their homework, but they want change. No, I didn't do my forgiveness worksheets. No, I didn't read that book. I didn't hear that teaching. I didn't read that scripture. Then what are you doing? What are you doing? Why do you have the time? You don't have 30 seconds to ask God a question? I put my schedule next to you, and I think I'll outbusy you most days. Other than you, Doc, don't be giving me that eye. Other than him, maybe. But if you're a disciple, some large questions have been asked in this series. And they're world-changing questions. They're life-changing questions. As a disciple, some of these questions that we should have been asking, like, am I too civilized, right? Or what does God want with my who's, my what's, my where's, my when's, my how's? Those kind of questions can lead our hearts, potentially, into life-altering decisions. If we ask him that, the potential for our life to be altered increases magnanimously by factors of 7, which is a lot. Life-altering decisions then can be scary, can't they? Who loves life-altering decisions? Woo! Bring them on, Pastor! Sean's like, Pastor, no. But some life-altering decisions are great because they're life-altering. What if my life-altering decision, like, look, I'm going to write you a check for $600,000, the last one to leave the sanctuary today. That'd be life-altering for some of y'all, wouldn't it? Kenny's like, Pastor, is that real? Are we on that? Are we down? Christian's like, everyone leave now. Pastor and I need to talk, you know? No, but life-altering things can be scary, but they're also opportunities. It's okay, because you and I, we're going to have new opportunities this year to obey, to encounter, right? To be an impact for Jesus. This is what we're going to do. The series has been intense, so I thought we'd start with some promises. You know, just for us people that are kind of trying to live uncivilized a little bit, we're being provoked, and counterculture sometimes gets you cut. I feel like, where's Jake? Jake, I look like an OG thug now. See that cut? It looked like I was rolling in the hood. I used to roll in the hood, but I kept my face pretty as it could be, right? But they decided to cut me, so now I look tough, you know? So I walk around, but listen to the gospel, why? Because look at that! You know, no, don't work. But this series has been intense, and I want to read some promises so we can get back to our purpose. So let's start with Psalm 37, verses 1 through 9. You ready for the word? All right. Do not worry. Don't you hate when I stop with the first three words, Kaylee? It's like, Pastor, come on, the first three words? But how many if I just said, don't worry, several times, really slow, you would start to feel super convicted and put your head down in your lap? Sean changed seats. He said, no, Pastor, don't look at me. Don't worry. You have to put a better effort in, church, in this area. I do, right? Of doing my job and not worrying. I have to do a better job of not worrying But the hard part, some of you guys don't know, my temperament in my inclusionary, which is my intellectual, is melancholy compulsive, which is completely designed by God himself to solve problems. So when you problem solve, then you become a worrier sometimes. Why? Because you just deal with problems. So I have a anybody else have a natural propensity to worry? Do anybody else come from a long line of worriers? My mom was queen of worry. Man, yeah, woo! She could whip up some worry when I had none. You got no worry? Here's some. Yeah. Okay, I got it. Thank you, Mama. Do not worry because of evildoers. Hey, he knows it's hard, honestly, not to worry when you're in the face of wolves. Right? He knows. He sent us there, he says, right? His word says, I'm going to send you out amongst wolves. Hey, I want to warn you, there's persecution coming from anybody who wants to follow me. And he's warning us, so it's going to be there, so the worry is going to be there. But he's asking us not to. Church, it's time to pour our focus and perspective back into his focus and perspective. Right? Look at your neighbor. Say, stop worrying. Yeah, stop worrying. It says, nor be envious toward wrongdoers. I never am envious towards wrongdoers. Let me just give a couple examples, and you can decide if this applies to you. Say, I'm the church. He could be speaking to me. Okay. Nor be envious towards wrongdoers. Like, how about sayings like this? If I could get away with it, I'd be filthy rich too. If we could get away with that, I'd be filthy rich too. Just. How about this? It's okay. Everyone lies on their taxes. Ooh, but the government. I didn't ask but the government. I just asked you and God. I know. It's uncomfortable. This series is uncomfortable. This is supposed to be the encouraging part. I'll get there. Right? How about something like this? Go ahead, cut corners. Everyone else does to get ahead. That sounds too civilized to me. That doesn't sound like the gospel of Jesus Christ. It just sounds like civilization. That's what we call uncivilized. There are things we have to start living in. They can cut corners, and they can get ahead, and they can do this terrible thing to make money. I cannot. Why? Because I follow Jesus Christ. I'm a disciple of his. And I got to stop envying what they got and the way they got it. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like green herb. Trust. Say trust. Trust. Rely on and have confidence in the Lord and do good. Say trust. And do good. So he's saying, right, trust him and keep doing your job. But they and but them. Why this and look at that. Hey. Trust me. But Jody gets... Oh my goodness, but Caitlin Sue got a race. I want you to trust me, but trust me. But that looks like the lion's den. Come in here with me. Trust me and do your job. I know it sounds a lot like military boot camp this morning. But it's time we learn to be uncivilized again. Say, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It says, dwell in the land. Dwell in the land. Yeah, be where he sends you. That's tough. Ever get sent someplace you don't want to be? Bishop used to give little assignments to test me. Apostle John's the worst at it. He is the best. I don't know. If Jordan was here, he could tell you stories. You know? And it was stuff to prepare you, but you didn't realize you're being prepared. It was just making you angry. You sent me here with him. Right. But you got to be where he sends you, and then you plant yourself to further notice. Be where he sends you, and then you plant yourself till further notice. Dwell in the land. Dwell in land and feed securely on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in who? The Lord. Come on. It's time to give your gratitude a little dusting off and adjusting, right? Sometimes we get a bad perspective. Oh, COVID. Oh, the gas prices. Oh, my foot. Oh, my ugly scar. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes we have to get a fresh perspective. Like, oh, my. You know, it's so great. We had an AC unit go out this week. And I am feeling pleasant in here. Right? I'm serious. I thank Jesus for AC all the time because I've at times experience no AC. It's not good. Feed securely. Delight yourself in the Lord. You know, life's a gift. We forget that. Eternal life is better, right? It's our privilege to serve God. We forget that. We forget sometimes where we come from. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires and petitions of your heart. Say, commit. Commit. It's going to get weaker. Commit. Commit. Yeah, what's he saying? He said, commit, commit, commit. Oh, gosh. I said that out loud in broad daylight. Commit your way to the Lord. That's part of the church's issue today, is lack of commitment to Him. We want to commit to our own ideas, my own evolutionary opinions on societal matters. And I want to give my opinion and live by my opinion because I have a very educated opinion. The church forgets that the Lord is our only way sometimes. We don't get to choose that. Say, I'm the church. Trust in Him also. Commit and trust, and He will do it. He will make your righteousness, your pursuit, right standing with God like the light, and your judgment like the shining of the noonday sun. Therefore, be still before the Lord. I'm going to teach you some Italian today. You ready? I check this with some Italian friends of mine, and I double-checked it because I thought that might be setting me up to cuss. Well, because when you said stuff in Italian, you're a little kid, and it said in such a grumpy way, I'll say this, I'll say, state zitto, fatti fatti due. Does it sound bad? Like, whoa, back up, I'm a kid. What are you telling me, state zitto, fatti fatti due? Well, what it means is, zip it, keep your mouth shut, and pay attention. Do you understand? And then if they want to end it with a real solid exclamation point, they say, capiche, which means you get what I'm talking about. You have comprehension. This is what the Lord's saying here. He's saying, stop the zit. Say, stop the zit. Stop the zit. It means be still. Stop running your mouth. Stop running your opinion. Stop posting that up on Facebook. Shut your Insta mouth down. Just for a minute. Why? Stop the zit. The Lord says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently and lovingly for Him. Wait for Him. Here's a tough part. Wait for Him, not for civilization's affirmation of your good job. Oh, man, we want to. I bought the shirt. Why? Because I want Jimmy Jones to look at me and my high-heeled legs. I can't walk in them. I don't like them. They're ugly, but I want Jimmy Jones to see them. Jimmy Jones. Jimmy Johns. You'd be thinking, Jimmy Johns. Yeah. We do stuff, right? We look for affirmation. Boy, I preached so good today. 45 people got saved, and not one person said, Pastor, you are killing it. Man, I'll tell you, there are men of God that are destroyed every Sunday because they don't hear that. Well, two things are happening. Either God's working on their hearts, or they got to amp up their time with God and give people some food. That's me included. I'm the church. Sometimes I got to stop the zeet. And wait patiently for Him. And trust Him. And trust yourself to Him. You know what that word entrust means? Assign the responsibility of doing something to someone. What? Entrust myself to Him. Yeah, you can do what you want to with me. Say, do not fret. Do not whine. Do not agonize. Do not fret, do not whine, do not agonize because of Him who prospers in His way. Look at that man getting it done without God. He didn't need God to get it done. Because of Him who prospers in His way. Because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Here's a tough one. Cease from anger, even if you're on the 60. Cease from anger and abandon wrath. Man, that's a message right there too, right? Cease from anger. Anybody needing some anger ceasing? Abandon wrath. Do not fret. What's it lead to? Only to evil. Only to evil. What's your fretting and your whining, your agonizing about other people prospering and the way they're getting it done and how it's not fair to you and why would God ask that dude? Where does that lead you to? Evil. only evil. For those who do evil will be cut off. But those who wait for the Lord, they're going to inherit the land. Say uncivilized. I want to show you a slide I have here about my role models. Right in the middle of this here. Most of my role models went to prison or were murdered. Most of my role models went to prison or were murdered. Matthew, he was pinned to the earth. He was murdered. He's a role model of mine. I read his gospel. I look up to him and his walk with God. Peter, he was crucified upside down. He was murdered. He's a role model of mine. Paul was beaten and beheaded. What a great role model. Ever heard of Bartholomew, which we refer to in the scriptures as Nathaniel? I'll try to get through this without tears, man. He was skinned alive as he was being crucified. Role model. Philip, tortured by impaled hooks, iron hooks, then hung upside down. See, most of my role models went to prison or were murdered. They loved God more than they loved what civilization thought about their love for God. Jesus, in his most famous, right, the Beatitudes, we talked about how he warned us that there's sheep and wolves and persecution, right? His boys, his fellas, his disciples were women of God, right? These real disciples, they lived their lives for him. And if need be, say if need be, unto death. So let's recap our weeks in the uncivilized series and see where we've been so we don't lose something. Ready? And our first week, it was the prequel. It was called The End of Me. It was the end of selfishness in the earth. Do you believe selfishness needs the end in the earth? Who does it start with? And I am. So selfishness needs to end in the earth when the church stops being selfish. And I am the church. And Jesus, we talked a whole long line of things where we're being selfish, right? And then the second week, we talked uncivilized. We explained when culture conflicts with God, we're supposed to ask ourselves a couple questions. I think I have those questions up. Do I, Miss Chantel? Nope, you're not back there. Joe, do I have them? Yep. Lord, where am I too civilized? Have you asked him yet? Where is where the world's doing it, how they're doing it, and why they're doing it, and their opinions bigger than the Lord of my life? I guarantee if you ask him, he'll tell you a space. No matter how dedicated and committed we are, he'll say, I got something for you, if you really care. And then, Lord, what, when, who, how, and where do you desire change from me? Those were the questions. They're very important. In the third week, we talked about not all who say, Lord, Lord, or even those who do good God stuff, like prophesy and heal and deliver. They might not know Jesus. Just because they look good, sound good, smell good, and you see miracles, that is not proof that we know Jesus. You know Jesus when you know Jesus. And he knows. And that's the most important question, right? That's what we learned. Week four, we went back to some statements like this, right? I got another statement on week four. The most important event in a person's life is knowing Jesus. And the second is maintaining and growing that relationship. As true with all relationships, right? If you want to grow and maintain that relationship and continue in love, you have to nurture that and be involved with it, right? Okay, today, we're going to get back to some of the Apostle Paul's divine inspirations. Say, I'm ready for it, because I'm the church. That could mean if you're the church, he's going to ask you to be a little more uncivilized this year. All right? Here's an excerpt from Paul's letter to the Galatian church. Galatians 1, 6 through 10. This is Paul speaking to the church. I am astonished and extremely irritated. You know, I stop there and I go, thank you, Paul. I can sink my teeth in those emotions. Unfortunately, that's mostly when I'm driving. I understand extremely irritated. But here's Paul starting to talk to the church who God loves and who is his bride in the earth and who change is coming in the world like nobody's business. And Paul says, you know, I'm astonished and extremely irritated. that you, the church, are so quickly shifting your allegiance? Is Jesus still your Savior? And is he your Lord? Is he your Savior and Lord at work anymore? Is he your Savior and Lord at school? Most of the kids aren't here today. Is he your Savior and Lord when you go to your friend's house? Is he your Savior and Lord on your legal paperwork? Is he Savior and Lord over your marriage, over your spouse, over your relationship? Sometimes you get frustrated, right, with folks. Probably been frustrated with me. You go, I can't, how quickly you forgot what you're supposed to be doing. Ever send a little kid to do a task? You know, go water. And by the time they get back, they might not be doing it, and they're doing five other things. You're like, what are you doing, man? I got distracted. You know, we're just kids. But sometimes that distracting shifts our allegiance. Shifting your allegiance and deserting him. I'm shocked, Paul says. Him who called you by the grace of Christ. Don't you remember, Simba? Did you forget? Did you forget what it's like when you're living in places that the inside scars look just like this all over you? Do you forget what it's like to run from the mafia? Do you forget what it's like to be drug overdosed? Do you forget what it's like when you're in your prison cell? Do you forget what it's like when you're alone? Remember that time when you thought no one and I showed up and you forgot already? You already forgot. I'm shocked. That's what Paul's saying to the church. Like, I never thought you'd forget. He goes, maybe you need more scars to remind yourself on the outside. He says, my scars remind me daily. He said, I'm shocked that your allegiance has shifted. Deserting him for a different, even contrary gospel. I don't know if you paid attention. I'm trying to stir the pot. But there's a lot going on in the Christian world today that says it's Christian, but it seems contrary. So here's the thing. You better know for yourself. Don't trust me. I'm saying try and trust me, but I'm imperfect. I prophesy in part. I know in part. I'm not perfect. But if you go someplace or you listen to something, you check the word out for yourself because you're the church, right? Just don't feed something that's got, well, there's a new doctrine out. Careful. There's lots of unscriptural doctrines and practices in some really popping churches. There's some garbage being promoted as God's word, and it's not God's word. And trust me, I would love it to be God's word because then I could pack it out in here and maybe minister to people and get where their knees met because we can bring in some people that they think it's okay that they do this, and then eventually, oh, no, I can't do that. Why? Because I'm following him. But that seems like a good idea. Yeah, it does. But God, that's my only factor. I can forget that kind of quick, right? Lots of stuff out there, which is not really another gospel, but there are obviously some people masquerading as teachers. There are some folks lately that I love some of the stuff they've taught in the body of Christ. It was so instrumental for light in the Word of God, and I could test it and stand on it, and I'll speak it today. And then I found some other things I've been saying lately. I go, that's not Jesus. I'm not throwing stones at it, type of mean message. I just praise it, Father. That is contrary gospel. As much as I'd like to jump on that bandwagon, I cannot. It's difficult. He's masquerading as a teacher. Why? Why is he teaching that? If it's not for you, then who's it for? You are disturbing and confusing and misleading with counterfeit teaching. And they want to distort the gospel of Christ, twisting it into something which it is absolutely not. Now I say that, I'm bringing this in this during this part of the series for uncivilized that we need to test those things. I'm saying even here, if I speak it, I'm always worried at a clip. Someone's going to get a clip of my message, and I'm going to be doing something crazy, and they're going to miss the point of my thinking. Pastor just called them a bunch of piglets. Well, listen to the rest of the story. No, pastor calls his congregation piglets. Oh, okay. The other 36 seconds talks about why I call them piglets. Because they're cute. You know, I don't know. But even if we, so Paul's throwing himself under this right here. I'm throwing myself under this. I have to throw myself under this. I'm a man of God behind a pulpit. I'm accountable for everything I say to you. So I got to put my we in this sentence. But even if we, Sean Capozzi, or an angel from heaven, an angel comes down, an angel, Mark, I've come. Here's a contrary gospel. Go and teach this to the world. Go, no, bro. I know God's word. Even if an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to that which we originally preached to you, if that happens, let him be condemned to destruction. Say, eek. As we have said before, so I now say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel different from that which you received from us, let him be condemned to destruction. Then Paul gets into it. Am I now trying to win favor? Am I now trying to win the favor and approval of men or of God? Sometimes you got to ask him that. Why are you doing that? Well, I want Pastor Jody to notice that I did it. Why? Well, we're setting up for some adoption day, and I just wanted to see how she hung up all the streamers for pictures, and she has not noticed what I'm doing it. You got to check your heart sometimes. I'm doing this why? Because Dad said. I'm doing this why? Because Mom said. Those are great reasons. But why are we doing what we're doing with when we do things? Are we trying to win people's favor or God's favor? I fall short sometimes in that. Sometimes they align perfectly because God's will almost always, 89% of the times, involves people. So you're going to have that combo platter. Or am I seeking to please someone? Paul's like, am I really seeking to please someone? Have you seen what's happened to me? I've been beaten, left for dead. If I were still trying to be popular with men, it says, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Say facts. The easiest way to get popular is find out what popular is doing and do it. Oh, watch my TikTok dance. I'll be getting it. Yeah, what do you many viewers you got? I got 14 viewers. I'm climbing, you know. 14, you know. You should write this one down if you want to. Mostly probably just Chantel. She's a writer down of things. That's what I know from Bible school. She is. You ready for it? When civilized living is our goal, or popular trend and opinion are our food, we will lose our flavor, purpose, and use for God. When civilized living is our goal, or popular trend and opinions are our food, we will lose our flavor, purpose, and use for God. When civilized living is our goal, or popular trend and opinion are our food, then we will lose our flavor, our purpose, and our use for God. So here's a quick peek at the church in Rome. And I like to take a look at Rome because you know why? They got to see some stuff in the church. The church in Rome got to see Christians dipped in wax and burning on their sidewalks. The church in Rome got to see Paul lose his head and take many beatings. And honestly, I'm a history junkie. And I see so many parallels between Roman civilization and United States current culture that to me, I want to go, look at this. Everyone's like, you're crazy. No, you're crazy. I just see it. I can't help but see it. So I thought we'd talk a little bit about Romans because they're a civilization that reflects us during their time and our time. Okay, Romans 15, 1-3. Now, we who are strong in our convictions and faith, say we who are strong with our convictions and faith ought to patiently put up with, man, I don't patiently put up with much. I don't know what he's going to say next, but there ain't much in that sentence that go, yeah, patiently put up with your grandkids. Okay, I can do that. Patiently put up with that puppy. Well, what's the patient mark? Right? Patiently put up with You ought to patiently put up with the weakness of those who are not strong. No, most of the time as Christians, we shoot the weak. We bury the almost dead. I mean, it's harsh. But can you tell me it's not truth? Yeah. We who are strong, instead of blasting the someone who's weak with their weakness, no one ever grows with criticism. You can be critiquing if you've earned a place of love in their life to speak to those things. Someone can grow and be affirmed in that. But just if you think you're going to critique someone to greatness, it won't happen. It's not going to happen. But we, the church, often, right, when we see something, I can't wait to tell Miley. I hope she asks me. Lord, one day she's going to ask me, Pastor, how can I be better? I'm going to go, aha, Miles, here's a list of things, you filthy piglet. No. Piglets. No, Miles knows better. You ought to patiently put up with the weakness of those who are not strong and not just please ourselves. Roman church. And not just please ourselves. And what? Not just please ourselves. We, the church, say me, ought to be patiently put up with the weakness of those who are not strong and not just please myself. You know, like, Pastor, you should have ended this message 4 minutes ago. Then it says, let each of us, that's pretty specific, right? Let each of us make it a practice to please his neighbor. Make it a practice? A habit or a routine to please other people above myself. Because Jesus defined, the whole, well, who's my neighbor? He's waiting for that question. Go read about it. He'll explain who his neighbor is. Like, yeah, I've been waiting for you. Questions lead to questions. I got answers. Right? You want to know who your neighbor is? Read about him. I'll tell you all about who your neighbor is. But what is my practice supposed to be? Let each of us make it a practice to please his neighbor, for his neighbor's good, to build him up spiritually. So I am the church. Am I doing that? Oh, good job. But seriously, I'm the church. Am I doing that? My physical neighbors, I pray for them a lot. I think my neighbors are good. But there's a lot of other neighbors I see at Walmart that I don't know how good I'm doing with that. Like I said, I don't do well with that when I'm driving in rush hour. I just have a good job of pointing out other people's insanity, you know? For even Christ did not please himself, but as it was written in Scripture, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me, the Son. So here's our bottom line. If you are the church and I'm the church, then I have some uncivilized home fork for us today. We're going to get out and Pastor Justin record time after some prayer. You're going to think he preaches more. He's the quickest preacher on the staff. His teachers, you know, he's a teacher. Ah, here it is. You know, he's a teacher. He serves it up. Here it is. Here's your homework. You ready? Let each one of us make it a practice to please his neighbor, to build him up spiritually. Can you do that this week? I mean, God gave you somebody in your head. Some of you went, oh, man. And some of you went, oh, yeah, I know who exactly that is. But sometimes the church is, who's going to build me up? If I were to post that on this Facebook and go, make it a practice to build, I guarantee you 4 people go, well, who's going to build me up then? You missed it. And you go to my church. I'm telling you the truth, the things that would make me frustrated. I am the church. Do something for me. That's how we are. I am the church. I'm your brother. Give to me. I'm the church. And this is what the homework is this week. Ask God who your neighbor is and practice blessing them with spiritual goodness. That's your homework. Find a neighbor and bless them. Make sure that God is the center of it. That's your uncivilized homework. It's the easiest homework I can give up. But I want to pray for us because I feel like this. God is moving us into position. I don't know if you feel that. I might speak on it next week. You're being positioned. I'm being positioned. I'm looking down the road and I go, is that the position? Is that why we're doing this? I have to put, you know, I'm the kind of person, I don't follow. I had to learn to follow instructions. You know, they'll say, hey, what did they say about taking that cream? I don't know. I didn't read the paper. Well, what was your plan? I was just going to slap it on there when I felt like, oh, I should put it on. That's my plan. You know, I'm the kind of person when I have to put something together, I need to, like my boys put this grill together. And they put the box on the ground. They're reading the instructions. I go, oh, no, I can't do it. Well, do what A and B does. No, I have to look at the picture and go, oh, I'm building that. Well, then this goes here and this goes there. I see what the position needs to be for the parts. I'm hoping you're seeing your life right now. God is positioning you. And he's been preparing you, the church, for the position he puts you in. And sometimes those positions are not comfortable because we're trying to find another position. Or we don't like the position we have, or the requirements it takes to do the position. I want to be the senior pastor, but I only want to speak for 30 minutes on Sunday, and I'd like to make about $300,000. Woo! Great. Ain't the job, man. It's not the job. Some places it's the job, but it's not the job here. We can't pick our position. We have to ask the Lord, where am I out of position? Can you get me back into position so we can be in position? And he's doing that with the church all globally. He's shaking us up. He's pruning. You feel like he's been pruning stuff on you? Tracking you down and things? It's only because he wants us to be strong for the season that's coming. It's not a season of condemnation for the church. This right here, this is polishing. This is pruning. Boy, Miss Deb, she graduated our Bible school and she's my neighbor. And I drive her crazy twice a year. She drives to her perfectly manicured Mexican Bird of Paradise home where it flourishes and is shaped like a wonderful thing. On my corner, I let it be wild. And it's water and it's wild. And she always, every year, she goes, can I help you? How about next year we fertilize that and trim that back? Why? Then it'll be bigger than mine. And I'll be jealous, but it'll be amazing. I'm going to let her do that this year with me. Yeah, so come on, let's do it. Why? Because I want more fruit. I want it to be bigger. I want it to be more beautiful. And I love it how it is now, but if it stays the way it is now, it'll never be what it could be. Say, I'm the church. It's time to be what we could be. It is time to be what we could be. So let it happen. Let the pruning happen. Let the change happen. Remember he said, don't whine, don't fuss. Don't be, why does Richard get to have beautiful hair? I don't know. I don't know why he gets beautiful hair. I don't have it. He prospers in his way. But we got to get behind each other. If we're going to encourage our neighbors spiritually, can I add a little bit to your homework? Some of you are overachievers. She's an overachiever. You're an overachiever. I'm surrounded by a lot of overachievers. It makes me feel really bad because I'm not an overachiever. I achieve, and then I like to break. I've achieved. Let's take a break. Like, I've achieved. Let's do more achieving. Okay. Here's for the overachievers. If we're going to patiently and lovingly, spiritually transform our neighbors' lives, here's the asterisk. On top of that, can you do that for a brother and sister in Christ too? So that means one of them can't be a believer. So encourage someone who says they're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Find a way this week to pray for that person like you've never prayed for him before. If God asks you to do more, ask him. He might go, hey, he told me to slip a 50 to that kid. Didn't do it. He told me to take her to breakfast. Do it. He told me to pray longer, 2 weeks. I'm asking you to be the church and do your homework. Find a neighbor and let your life spiritually lead them someplace. And then give attention to a brother or a sister in your prayer life this week and watch the church grow. Because that's our job, right? To fruitful and multiply. Yeah. It's time to get pruned so we can be beautiful. You know? So stand with me. I'm going to pray for you. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus. Like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Everybody has to have that moment, you know? I talked with Harold and Mark about that moment, and Richard, because we've had some rough, I like to talk to rough guys. Like I said, I was raised in the hood, and I like to hear people's stories go, I didn't know church at all, but God did this, and I found him, and I'll never let him go. Jesus came into my life, and I had all sorts of religious background, grew up in denominational church, but I didn't know God. I had to have this ridiculous encounter that put a lot of knots and scars on my head. And once I found him, I never wanted to let him go. And I needed forgiveness then. And I know I needed it. I knew how ugly I was when no one else knew how ugly I was, and I was pretty sure everyone else knew how ugly I was. I wore that around. And I never thought I could be forgiven for any of it, let alone whatever in the future could come. But he did. Jesus will forgive you for every single thing. He just has this promise. Says, if you want to be forgiven and you want to come in and be part of my family that I've been waiting forever, the reason I died is for that moment. If that's what you want, this is what I need from you. I need your commitment. I need your commitment. You're not going to live like you were living for who you were living, how you were living, and where you were living. You're going to do everything for me, and I'm going to save your life, and I'm going to put you in places that go, people go, what? And I'm going to cause you to be an impact in the world, but you got to commit to me. I'll forgive you for your sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and make a place in eternity for you. All that if you'll commit to me. That's the gospel. Anything else is a lie, an absolute lie. So if you need to commit your life to Jesus and you've never done that, I'll ask everybody to close your eyes for a second. There's a time for boldness. And I don't do this very often. But if you have never asked Jesus to forgive you, to be your Lord and Savior, and to change you from the inside out and bring you into eternity, and wrap his arms around you. If you've never done that, raise your hand. I would like to pray with you. I'm going to pray over the rest of us, and I'm going to ask Pastor Heidi to join me in that moment. And then we're going to pray for you, because God's going to do something in you. Man, if he can use a knucklehead like me, I can't imagine what he can do with you. I can't imagine what he can do with you. So, Father, I thank you that we are the church. We are part of the church. Lord God, we are a cell in the body of Christ of the church. I ask you, cause new season to be healthy this year. Body, mind, and soul, we would be doers and knowers of you. Knowing you and doing it like you do for the same reasons that you do it, Lord God, we would be beautiful to you no matter what anyone else thinks. We would be uncivilized and passionate, Father, for you. Cause that passion to well up in us again. Change us, Father God. Form your church in the way you've always wanted to be and what we ought to be. In Jesus' name, amen.